following Women's Spaces show was recorded on Monday, July 23rd, 2018.
The woman in your life will do what she must do to comfort you and calm you down and let you rest now. The woman in your life, she can rest so easily. She does everything you do because the woman in your life is you.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to Women's Spaces. My name is Elaine B. Holtz, and I'm your host. And with me at the board is my friend, my partner, my engineer, and my co-producer, Ken Norton. Good morning, Ken.
Good morning.
Wow, what a beautiful day in Sonoma County. And here we are. We're back from vacation, and you can tell by my red nose and my red cheeks that I was on the beach for 5 days, and it was absolutely wonderful. And I hope my listeners enjoyed the rerun of the interview that we had with Gloria Allred. If you had missed it, you can always go to www.womenspaces.com, and the interview took place on March 5th. Well, I'm really, really excited. You know, with me this morning, I have a very special guest by the name of Portia Sinnott, and she is the program director for Zero Waste USA and the editor for the Northern California Recycling Association. And also, we're going to talk about Plastic Free July, which I believe that Portia was pretty instrumental in bringing that here to Sonoma County. But before we go on to the guest and some other things, I just want to make a few announcements to talk a little bit about my vacation. It was really wonderful. We went down to Pismo Beach. We actually brought our dog Rosie. It was so interesting being able to bring your dog into a hotel. We were about maybe 10 seconds from the beach. It was really exciting, and it was a well-deserved vacation. But one of the things that kept hitting me all the time that was really interesting, because I was brought up in Los Angeles, and during my youth, I hung out at the beaches at Santa Monica. And when we were at Pismo Beach this time, every time I looked in the ocean, I just kept thinking of Fukushima, and I kept thinking of what kind of radiation is in the water now, as I watched all the children playing in the sand and playing with the water. And I realized that when I was growing up, I did not have those things to worry about. You know, the oceans were really beautiful and clean, and now we have so much to consider. You know, it's really important that we start thinking about what we're doing to our environment. That's why I believe this interview is going to be so important, the idea of taking some self-responsibility and also trying to start on an individual basis to start trying to free plastic in our environment. I mean, it's killing our oceans. It's killing our fish. I mean, I'm sure Portia will have some interesting insights into what is happening. Well, as I have announced several times over the past month or so, that I am going to become a great-grandmother to a little girl by the name of Satori Trinity Jensen. And this Saturday, we had a baby shower for her. And it was so interesting to me as I sat around and I looked. I mean, the gifts, I mean, there was like almost two tables just filled with gifts, all the things that a mother needs for her child, and all the support that my beautiful granddaughter Amber is getting, and my grandson over this child being born. And as I looked at her, and as I sat with her, and even put my hand on her stomach and felt the little treasure in there kick, I began to think about myself. You know, I thought, wow, you know, here, it just seems like yesterday I was a mother. You know, and then it seems like yesterday I was a grandmother, and now I'm becoming a great-grandmother. And my daughter and I had this really interesting conversation about it, and I looked into her eyes, and I said to myself, my goodness, this was my baby. This was my inspiration for life. You know, and I think of all these young children at the borders and all the things that are happening around that, the separation. I mean, how traumatic that must be for children. I remember with my own daughter, I had to leave her off at daycare. And one day, I came to daycare, and she was just hysterical. And I said, Susan, what's the matter? What's the matter? And she says, Mommy is not going to come back. And I go, oh, my goodness, she has separation anxiety. So what I did is I made her a little clock, and I showed her the clock on the wall and then the clock in her hand, and that was the time Mommy was going to come back every single day. And I would remind her when I picked her up, see, Mommy's here, Mommy is back. And that gave her a kind of a relief and a relaxation. But I think of these young people that are being what I consider incarcerated, separated from their mothers and their fathers in a country that they don't know anything about. They don't know the language. I mean, what must it be like? And I know, without a fact, that every parent that is holding their child feels the same way you and I feel about our child. We want to give them opportunity. We want to give them a good future. We want to make sure things are happening for them and that they inspire us, that they absolutely inspire us. I raised my daughter as a single mother, and I want you to know it was an inspiration to me. So what I want to do is, before we go into the main crux of the program, I want to play this song. It really touched me. It's called... It even makes me cry, In My Daughter's Eyes. And it's sung by a woman by the name of Maxine Lynam. And the reason I find this song very important is I think all of us are inspired by our children. I'm even noticing the change in my own grandson and his wife, knowing that they're going to become parents, the things that they're thinking about, the things they're considering. You know, it was real interesting when we were on the registry, how many organic things they wanted to order. I remember at one time when I was called a nut because I believed it. Let's all go organic, and all of a sudden telling me that I'm, you know, what's the matter with me? It's going to be too expensive and all the other things. And now most of our world, we're very lucky that we're able to get a hold of good food at a good price in many, many instances. So I thought I would just play this song, kind of give us a, take a moment to think about what this song is saying. And also take a moment to ask yourself, how is any mother or any father different when it comes to their children? I mean, unless they don't want them, but obviously these people definitely, they're trying to come to a country and get some sort of reprieve from some of the horrors that they're experiencing. They're trying to give their children a better life. I mean, I'm only a first-generation American. My father and his family came over from Poland in the early 1900s. Well, that's what they came for. They came for a better life. So let's go ahead and listen to the song In My Daughter's Eyes, sung by Maxine Lynam. And when we come back, I have a few announcements to make. And let's go ahead.
Good job.
In my daughter's eyes, I am a hero. I am strong and wise, and I know no fear. But the truth is plain to see, she was sent to rescue me. I see who I wanna be in my daughter's eyes. In my daughter's eyes, everyone is equal. Darkness turns to light, and the world is at peace. This miracle God gave to me gives me strength when I am weak. I find reason to believe in my daughter's eyes. When she wraps her hand around my finger, oh, it puts a smile in my heart. Everything becomes a little clearer. I realize what life is all about. It's hanging on when your heart has had enough. It's giving more when you feel like giving up. I've seen the light. It's in my daughter's eyes. daughter's eyes, I can see the future, a reflection of who I am and what will be. And though she'll grow and someday leave, maybe raise a family, when I'm gone, I hope you'll see how happy she made me. For I'll be there in my daughter's eyes. When she wraps her hand around my finger, oh, it puts a smile in my heart. Everything becomes a little clearer. I realize what life is all about. It's hanging on when your heart has had enough. It's giving more when you feel like giving up. I've seen the light. It's in my daughter's eyes.
Oh, what a song, and just a reminder of how precious. I mean, I'm thinking that my daughter also had a daughter, and now she's going to be the grandmother to a daughter. I mean, time definitely goes by, and there's a lot to think about and a lot to consider. Well, anyway, welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holtz, and I'm welcoming you to the show, and glad you're here and glad you're listening. I have a few announcements to make. First of all, I want to do a shout-out to the Peace and Justice Center. I was really impressed. Ken and I went to see a movie that they showed. It was called, let me get my notes here. It was called The Doctrine of Discovery. And I think it's just amazing, you know, that the Peace and Justice Center is doing all these film series and stuff. And I really believe as a county, we need to support the system there. The Doctrine of Discovery was real interesting to me because all of a sudden I began to realize that what our country was built on. You know, we have a constitution, we have a Bill of Rights, we have all kinds of wonderful things, but we forget that in order for us to get here, that a lot of unhappiness was caused. So a special shout out for showing the movie and for just all the things that they're doing down there. And then tonight is going to be something very special at the Peace and Justice Center, a panel discussion ranging from liberal democracy, various forms of socialism and anarchy, gift economy, Marx and others. Is going to be moderated by our own Peter Phillips, founder of the Media Freedom Foundation and Project Censored, and he is also the former director for Project Censored. You know, what it's going to do, it's going to be a panel of several people that are going to get together. And one of my favorite feminists, Leslie de la Madre, is going to be one of the panelists. And I know anytime she's involved, it's very, very exciting. They're going to have Ann Bird from the NAACP in Santa Rosa, Laura Nash from 350 Sonoma County, Scott Wagner, a Democratic Socialist of America of the North Bay, Merlin Davis, Community Action Coalition and DSA, and then Rose St. John, social justice advocates. And it's going to be quite a lively discussion, and it's sponsored by Occupy Sonoma County. And I want to do a shout out for Emerald, who does all the PR on it, and she definitely keeps me informed. Also, this Wednesday, this is really interesting. This is called Of One Soul Project. That's going to be happening on Wednesday, July 25th from 5 to 6:30 p.m. And it's going to be happening at the First Congregational United Church of Christ on 2000 Humboldt Street in Santa Rosa. And what's going to be happening is folks are going to be talking about how they can provide support for these immigrant families that are having so many issues at the borders these days. I mean, it's really, really sad when you start thinking about it. And as citizens of this country, we need to stand up. If for anything, we need to stand up for the children. You know, when you start thinking about it, a child comes into the world, they're innocent. you know, they're like an empty slate that we're all going to write on. And I remember way back in the 60s when I became a mother, I remember they had this, there was a poster that came out, Children Live What They Learn. And that really impressed me. You know, if they live with violence, they learn to be violent. They learn, if they live with love, they learn to love. I mean, it's that simple. And you have to ask yourself, what are these children who are being taken from their parents, what are they learning to live by? And what is their feeling about our own country? So it's very, very important that we do support this action. So it's going to be at the First Congressional United Church of Christ on Humboldt Street, and that's going to be this Wednesday, July 25th from 5 to 6:30. And a reminder to my folks out, to my listeners out there, several things are happening. If you have any birthdays or any anniversaries that you'd like to do a shout out, please email me at elaine@womenspaces.com. I'm happy to wish any one of your family members, your spouse, whoever it is, a happy birthday or a happy anniversary. Also, I want to encourage you to become a member of KBBF. It's very, very important. All local community radio stations need to be supported. You know, and we have quite a few here in Sonoma County. So that's a lot to think about. And I hope we're all out there thinking. I mean, that's the purpose of Women's Spaces, is not only to introduce ordinary women who are doing extraordinary things in our community, but also to start thinking about what can we do to make a difference. You know, the woman that I'm going to interview, Portia Sinnott, you know, she is an example of what Margaret Mead talks about. You know, the power of one individual who has an idea and brings it forward. And if all of us did that, all these great ideas, and put some energy into it, it would be amazing the things that could happen. Anyway, we are going to take a musical break, and the song I'm going to be playing is called Save the Earth by Bethy. It's a great song to introduce my next guest. When I return, I will be talking to Portia Sinnott, who is the program director for Zero Waste USA and the editor of the Northern California Recycling Association. And like I said, Portia, an example of what Margaret Mead meant when she said, and I quote, "Never doubt that a small group of thoughtful, committed citizens can change the world. Indeed, it's the only thing that ever has." Just think about that. Dedicated people. I mean, there's so many things that we can bring forward once we come together and persist. You know, just before we go into the song, a real good example of that is those young boys in Taiwan that they rescued from that cave. They said it was impossible. They took the impossible and they made it possible. Why? They were focused and they were committed and they recognized one thing, one very, very important thing. The children are our future and they were worth being rescued. And the focus that went into that, I mean, just imagine if we focused on our environment that way, if we focused on bringing an end to war that way, what we could accomplish. Okay, so here we go. Save the Earth by Bethy.
I need fresh air. I need fresh air. I need good air for the flowers and the trees. I need fresh air, clean and pure. Save the earth for our children. Save the earth for ourselves. Why don't we save important, don't you think? I need water.
Save the world, save the earth for our children, save the earth for ourselves. Interesting thought. For you just joining, you are listening to KBBF 89.1 FM, Calistoga, Santa Rosa. I want to remind my listeners that the opinions expressed here are not necessarily the opinions of KBBF, its board of directors, its members, or Women's Spaces. Well, welcome back. You're listening to Women's Spaces, and I'm your host, Elaine B. Holtz. And without further ado, I want to introduce my guest, Portia Sinnott. Welcome. Welcome, Portia. Welcome to Women's Spaces.
Thank you.
Well, before we begin, I'd like to tell my folks a little bit about you. And, you know, one of the things that Portia added, put a piece of paper in front of me just to remind you that she's part of the Zero Waste Action and Zero Waste USA, and that's what we're going to talk about today. And we're also going to talk about Plastic Free July, which is a very interesting concept. Anyway, Portia Sinnott serves as the program director for Zero Waste USA and the editor of the Northern California Recycling Association, also a self-employed zero waste advocate consultant. She co-leads and takes part in cutting-edge projects across North America and Europe. Her favorites include development of the EPA's Managing and Transforming Waste Streams, Tools for Communities, and the Nestle Purina Headquarters Zero Waste Plan. Well, that sounds really interesting, Portia. Portia is an advocate for living lightly on the earth. She is co-founder and executive director of Light Initiatives, a.k.a. LITE, a Sonoma County, California-based activist group. LITE's programs includes CarLite, Zero Waste Action, Sonoma County, and Community Bikes of Santa Rosa. A member of the Sonoma County Local Task Force since year 2000, Portia helped lead the recent Zero Waste Initiative that, if passed, will result in the entire community committing to zero waste by 2030. Wow, Portia, you've been busy. Anything you'd like to add, my friend?
You did a pretty good job. Some people know Light as the organization that runs community bikes over on Sebastopol Road. That's sort of our face to the world. And then we do various different projects supporting the concept that everybody needs to learn how to reuse, repair, and live lightly. And so we promote do-it-yourself skills.
Well, you know, Portia, and reading your bio and going into the different programs that you're involved with, I found it really very interesting how much work you actually have been doing over the years. And you, before the program went on, you were telling me that you started doing this when you were 20. So talk a little bit about, you know, Women's Spaces is dedicated to ordinary women doing extraordinary things. And one of the things that I try to do is encourage other women through listening to women like yourself, like, what motivated you to get involved, and where do you get your confidence, your tenacity to stick with this, especially now when you're looking at a president that wants to rip away all the goals, the steps that we've accomplished?
Well, I was one of those high schoolers that was one of the teen leaders. I wasn't the popular teen leader, but I was in charge of the church group. And I didn't know, looking back, I now know, but I didn't know then that I was an organizer. I was the one who put on the ski trips and some of the parties. So I was developing my organizing skills. And then when I went to San Francisco State, I was involved in a number of things. And then I went to a workshop. And it basically was, what kind of activist do you want to be? And I hadn't previously defined myself as an activist, but this workshop, I think put on by Friends of the Forest, basically said, if you want to be an activist and if you have a life, you have to pick a field. you have to focus. You can't just be spread all over the place. There, we all know activists that don't have a life, that just work and work and work and work, and sometimes don't take enough showers. Seriously, I have a friend who doesn't take enough showers because he's so busy being an activist. So I took that to heart. So at that meeting in my early 20s, I picked a list of things, and on that list, I picked recycling. The other things on the list were holistic health and as well as some social efforts.
Go ahead.
But I picked recycling because I thought it was simple.
You know, I got to tell you a funny story. Inject a funny story. When I started to recycle, I was going to Los Angeles City College, and there was someone came in and gave a lecture about recycling, so I started to recycle. And my mother comes in one day, and she sees the bins in my kitchen. She says, "What are you doing? Why aren't you throwing those in the trash?" She says, "I says, I'm recycling." She says, "Recycle? Are you kidding?" So anyway, it was a phenomena back then to even do that, to even know the word.
Well, in the 50s, in Southern California, a famous mayor whose name I can't think, that Sam Yorty,
Sam Yorty.
He ran on the ticket saying you don't have to separate your waste anymore. We'll just take it all and discard of it for you. So there was a movement away from recycling. But previous to that, recycling was very important with the war effort. And all farmers and landholders were really into reduce, reuse, recycle as much as possible. It's a waste of money. But in the 50s, it fell away, and then it came back in the 70s. And the California Bay Area is a hotbed, has been a hotbed for recycling and zero waste ever since.
But it's interesting how you set up one thing, and then they tried. It's the same thing with the electric car in Los Angeles, you know, the trolleys. You know, they pulled out all the tracks, and here we are back trying to get, you know, transportation. It's
yeah,
the
but
same
they
thing.
Were the corporations wanting to sell more gas and tires. But we could go off on that tangent, but we won't. But basically, I chose to be a recycling activist at a young age. I had no idea how complex or interesting it is. It's kept me very happy and involved ever since. I'm also, just remember, this was before computers. So when I got out of college with an interdisciplinary social science degree, I had various different jobs, but it was right when microcomputers were coming out, mini computers and microcomputers, and I'm good at it. And so I, soon after exiting college, I bought a computer and started being self-employed, working on various different people's projects, some in the sense of doing accounting for the new compost facility in Berkeley or doing the data management for waste composition studies. But the point is that I married my two interests, microcomputers and recycling, early on. But here's one of the keys of why I've been successful for 40 years. I got involved with the Recycling Association. I quickly became an officer. I was the treasurer, then the vice president, the president. So I was the youngest president ever, I believe, and also one of the ones with the longest term. So when I started my self-employment, everybody knew who I was. And so that helped with me getting projects and getting work. And then after a while, I started doing my own projects. But all along, I continued to be a volunteer for the Northern California Recycling Association and a board member. And then when I had my daughter, I stopped for a while and then I went back. So I'm very, very involved in regional as well as national recycling issues.
So where did you get your confidence? Because when you started this, it was a whole new idea. Even though bringing back, it was still something that you had to stand up and be a little bit different.
It's a very good question that I don't particularly know the answer, but I have a strong sense of self. And even though I am a bit dyslexic and stumble around a bit, I still am pretty genuine and people listen to me. I can't really say, but also I'm really good at organizing things.
Now, you say you have a daughter, so that must have been a very interesting song, listening to that first song we put.
Yeah, I wrote it down. Yeah.
Because it does. They are our inspiration to move forward and to do certain things.
Well, in this case, she was not an inspiration for my business, but she was an inspiration for my life. And I'm really very happy. Even I was a single mother the whole time. It worked. And that's a whole nother radio show, is on choosing single parenthood and how it works. But because I was already a really good organizer, already self-employed, choosing to have a child at 33, 34, went fairly smoothly, not totally smoothly, but I'm very proud of her, and she does recycle.
That's amazing. No, it's an amazing story. Well, talk a little bit about Sonoma County. There's a waste report. You know, what is going on, and how why are you encouraging people to get involved? What do you think is the most important
thing?
Well,
before we go there, I want to add that recycling does not equal zero waste. Zero waste is a concept. It's a visionary approach to an economy in which there is no waste. Just like nature has no waste, that one being eats the detritus or the body of another being, there is a circular economy, and zero waste is similar to circular economy, but zero waste goes even farther. But it is, many people say, zero, it's impossible. Why even say it? But the truth is, many businesses are almost to zero. Sierra Nevada Brewery in Chico, their whole business is 98%, has reached a cutoff where only discarding 2% of their waste stream. 98% is pretty darn close.
What do you consider waste when you say they're waste-free? What do you consider waste that you're talking about?
Anything that needs to be discarded in a landfill. The zero waste movement, many of the advocates are subscribed to no burn, no bury, no toxics. So if you take that extreme view, nothing is being burned, nothing is being put in landfills, and nothing is being released into the atmosphere. Now, they're a brewery. Breweries are pretty simple businesses, so we're very, very proud of them, and they're a wonderful model for many other businesses, but their inputs and outputs are not extremely problematic. But they're not discarding, they're discarding only 2% of what they generate. And I don't know what that 2% is, but I could find out if someone really wanted to know.
No, but that's amazing that people are getting that close to actually being able to sustain that way.
And most major cities in the country have a commitment to zero waste. Some of them, it's pretty far out, 2040. So here in Sonoma County, I'm a member of the local task force for solid waste. And a decision was made maybe a year and a half ago to initiate a stakeholder process in which we brought a number of the leaders in the community together and to come up with an approach to zero waste in which Sonoma County and all its jurisdictions can make a commitment to reduce, reuse, recycle, remanufacture, to do whatever they can, and with a goal of reaching zero waste by 2030.
Now, let me just ask you, this is a little bit off the subject here, though, but it has to do with just generally the politics that are happening today. You know, oftentimes people think, well, why should we do anything when the government's saying that there's no such thing as global warming and et cetera, yada, yada. How is it that with your zero waste plan, how can an individual do that as well as a company, and why would that make a difference when you have a government that says, you know, we don't believe in this?
Because it's the right thing to do whether the government agrees or not. And the truth is, we can't afford to continue landfilling. Most landfills are designed, no, they're not designed, but will ultimately fail. So the contents of the landfills will end up in the water table. And it's just a convenience we can no longer continue to throw trash in a hole. And a zero waste economy can be as vibrant or more vibrant than the one we have. It's just that someone doesn't design a product without thinking about how it will be ultimately, what will happen to it at the end of its life.
You know, it's interesting you say that. I know we're recyclers, and I'm always failing. I'm always putting it in the wrong can. I mean, for some reason, you know, Ken will come along and he kind of checks it and he says, no, this belongs here, this belongs there. How do you get people to start thinking that way, to where, you know, this goes to this bin, this goes to that bin, and this is how we're going to pick it up?
Well, that's an interesting point, because one of our current problems above and beyond the markets in China is that we have a lot of what's called wishful recycling, where people think, look at something, think, oh, this should be recyclable, and they put it in, and then someone's going to have to take it out. So it really comes down to educating people in school and everywhere, talking about, because nothing is recyclable if there's no market. So we have to just teach people. And the truth is, do you remember when we used to break things down? We used to sort bottles, brown, green, clear.
Right.
We used to put white paper, office paper together and mixed paper. We may have to return to that because the markets are so demanding right now that that may be the only way that we can continue without serious problems. But it really comes down to teaching people simple, sustainable practices, and that's what Light Initiatives and Zero Waste Action do. We teach people how and why. And someone is confused about recycling, having someone show it to them a few times really, really helps. And we have a new hauler here in Sonoma County, Recology, and their byline is Waste Zero, and they're highly, highly motivated to reduce the amount going to landfill. They're still in the garbage business. They're still one of the largest waste management companies in the country, but their priority is to divert as much as possible. So it really comes down to teaching people.
Well, that's it, to teach, and not only that, to for people to really believe that they can play a part. Because oftentimes, why, if the government, like I said, if the government is not paying attention, what kind of impact can I have? And you're saying that individuals can have an impact.
Very much so, very much so. And what's interesting about that is that your life can be better with practicing things to support this environment instead of less. A lot of people think their quality of life will go down. It's not. It's just really a matter of habits.
Why would someone
Simple
think their
habits.
Quality of life is going to go down?
Oh, they don't want to bother with sorting, don't want to bother with putting things out at the curb, don't want to bother about giving their clothes to their friends. It's just a matter, an issue of convenience. But the truth is, your quality of life goes up as you generate less waste.
You know, it's when you say that, I can't help but go back in my mind to our most recent election where we only had 26% turnout. So people don't want to bother to recycle. They don't want to bother to vote. And then you look at your world and you see that it's kind of coming apart on so many levels. The most important thing, I think, the first step you have to recognize and the question you have to ask yourself is, what part can I play? And there's two things it sounds like you can do. One is, of course, vote. We're going to have another election in November, and which is a very important election. And the second thing is to start looking at what you're consuming and how you can help to go to the zero waste, which is going to help the future of our children. I'm thinking of looking into my daughter's eyes again. When you look into that child looks in your eyes, they're saying to you, please be responsible so I can have a future. I mean, that's just what comes to my mind. Well, let's talk about, you know, I love, you know, it was really interesting until, and I got to do a shout out to Emerald because she's just precious. I mean, she just does all the PR and she really keeps me informed, and I just can't appreciate her enough. So when I first heard about Plastic Free July and I start doing research, I was amazed. So talk a little bit about that and how did that come about?
Plastic Free July is the brainchild of a woman from Australia who just started to promote the concept locally, and then it spread worldwide. It's not well known in some circles, but basically, you know, the way you can get people to change is by changing their habits. So it's a challenge. They're saying, try to live without plastic in July. And in some cases, it's really impossible unless you're retired or rich, but it still makes you think. You go to the grocery store and think, how can I do without plastic? It gets you to think. And whether you can make it through the whole month or not without plastic, it does teach you what resources are available, what options you can, how you can organize your life somewhat differently so that you have reusable containers with you when you go to the grocery store so you don't have to buy plastic. The main benefit of, in my opinion, is to get people to think about how what they do. Similar to asking people, don't drive first Sunday of the month.
Well, it's
really
aware.
Simple, and yet not driving first Sunday of the month allows you to think about not driving the rest of the month. Same thing, Plastic Free July gets you to think about how you can reduce plastic in your life.
Well, you know, it's interesting when you say, you know, going to the store and trying not to buy plastic, all of a sudden my mind just went to all the things that I buy that are in plastic, and that, I mean, it's really overwhelming when you think about it. How can you go and not?
Well, a lot of that is packaging. So choosing food that's not packaged is one way to do it, and to cook from scratch, and to buy in bulk. It's a matter of what I call environmental time management. My favorite example is plastic bags or reusable bags. How to get the habit of not using plastic or paper bags. You have to have some reusable bags. You have to manage them. You have to store them. You have to have them with you when you go to the store. It's really a matter of setting a goal and implementing it and being kind to yourself.
Well, it's interesting. There's three things that now we can do. The first thing is we can vote. The second thing is we can become aware. And then the next thing we can do is we can bring a bag to the grocery store and not have to have a plastic container.
And to have a to-go container in your car and perhaps some bamboo or metal knives and forks so that when you do get to-go food, you don't have to accept the packaging. And there's a huge amount going on here and in Sonoma County and on the state level to make it so that restaurants and other fast food establishments are encouraged to move away from disposables and to use reusables. And the easiest way to do that is for you to bring your own. And there are some issues related to the health department, so you have to bring them clean and you have to be prepared to be challenged a little bit because it's not appropriate for, like, a deli counter to take your container over into their area. And so it's a little complex, but after a while it works. I have to give a shout out to Oliver's. They're a wonderful grocery store and community market, and they do allow you to use reusables. They're a little strict sometimes because if you have a dirty container in your hand, they're not going to fill it. But it's really important to for our businesses to lead the way.
Well, there's another component to it, because what you're saying is that not only is the consumer and the grocery store, they're working together to achieve something, which is really a landmark to me to even hear that. Well, you know, it's so important, and I know that you have a kind of a questionnaire people can fill out.
Yeah,
talk
checklist.
A little bit about that. I found that very, very interesting.
Well, let me give you a little background that part of this effort I mentioned before about going towards zero waste by 2030, we have a series of presentations, and I'm training people to give these presentations. And so I took a handout that I had made decades ago, and I've updated it. So when people come to the workshop, to the one-hour presentation we have, we give them this checklist. It's called How Low Can You Go, and it's a list of, I haven't counted them, but probably 100 different things you can do to move towards zero waste. And it's structured so that you pick a few and try them out, and then you come back for some more.
Well,
and I'm working on putting it on a website, but I haven't done it yet.
There's another point that's very important that you make. Oftentimes when you say there's 100 things, doesn't mean you have to do 100 things. I mean, here's 100 potential things. Pick one or two. It's the same thing with voting. You become overwhelmed sometimes with the ballot. Pick two or three issues that you become familiar with and make sure that you vote intelligently in that area. And it's the same thing here. Find something that you're comfortable with and realize that you're breaking habits. And habits are very difficult to break. You know, we're used to doing things one way, and then to all of a sudden reverse is very, very interesting. Well, let's get into the next area. And before we do that, I'm really curious. You work with a lot of different organizations. In fact, when you said, I want to tell my listeners that what I do is I have my guests send me 5 questions and let me know a little bit about what they're passionate about so I can understand. And this helps make the interview a lot more pleasant and a lot more fun, because then I know at least what you are interested in. So you work with a lot of different groups. Talk a little bit about them so we can understand when we see these groups, we can have a little bit of background of what they're about. One of them you mentioned was ZW Initiative. What is that?
The Zero Waste Initiative is what I was referring to earlier, where we're asking the county and each jurisdiction to commit to moving towards zero waste. But I, with that group, I mentioned there's a whole large group of stakeholders that were brought together by Leslie Lukash, who's one of my peers. 350 Sonomas there, Sierra Club's there. There's a number of different nonprofit groups there. There are businesses there, Jackson Family Farms, Jackson Family Winery. I can't think of everybody on it at the moment, but we brought everybody in that who cares or would be impacted by this concept of moving towards zero waste, and worked with them as a group, and then we came up with a huge list of initiatives, which I brought, condensed down to a shorter document, so that we work with. We want, see, one of the secrets of zero waste, one of the principles of zero waste is that we get everybody involved. It's not something the government's doing to us or that we're doing to the government. It's a collaborative effort where we look at implementing culture change in which everybody's voice matters and everybody owns it.
Well, they have to. I mean, we're in big trouble if we don't start paying a little bit more attention to what's going on in our world.
I'm guessing it would be called collaborative democracy, but my favorite word is synergy, that we have to create a synergy and create something that works for everybody. For example, the haulers that work here in Sonoma County were involved. Not everybody came to every meeting, but they knew what was going on. So this document we developed is already agreed upon by the parties involved, and it's designed to be palatable by everybody, just about everybody, and at the same time, something very innovative.
Well, if talking about innovation, you do these workshops. What is the workshop about?
It's basically a half-hour presentation with a game, because we always have to talk about recycling. People always have questions about recycling, so we play the game first, and then we have a talk about what is zero waste, why zero waste is important, what's its climate benefits, as well as other benefits, and then why the Bay Area and Northern California is a leader in this movement, what individuals can do, and how to find out more. It's very simple formula. So basically, I'm teaching people to teach other people how to talk zero waste in a succinct, easy-to-do manner. And actually, I've been asked to do it for all of California's Sierra Club, to teach this presentation for other people to teach it as well. And it's called Zero Waste Curious, which you can remember, I am curious yellow. But it's a play on that, but the idea being to introduce the concepts so when it comes to the city councils, the people in the community are already familiar with it.
Well, you know, we're coming to the end of this segment. Time goes by so quick when you're in the studio, and I just really wanted to give you a lot of time on this because I think it's a very, very important subject. But I don't want to leave my listeners with just a lot of information in their head. So one of the things I was thinking, maybe you suggest two or three things that people can do, and also, you know, that are simple, real simple little acts.
Well, one simple thing is called Sip It Sonoma, and we're asking people to, at the restaurants and other food establishments to go to say, I don't want a straw. And to ask the establishment to stop serving straws to everybody.
Getting rid of the straws? I think it was Starbucks or something?
Yes. They're redesigning the top of their lid so that it serves somewhat as a straw.
Wow.
But the whole idea is that on one beach cleanups, the number... One of the top 10, if I remember correctly, are cigarette butts, straws, plastic bottles, plastic bottle caps, and I don't remember the rest right now, but the point is straws, even though they're small, have a very big impact on our ocean and our rivers. So the idea is to encourage people to bring their own straws or do without straws or refuse straws. So that's one of the top things. But also, go to your city or your jurisdiction's website and study what the recycling program accepts and doesn't accept. Now, since we're in Sonoma County, you would go to the Recology website, but study it. Get to know. Avoid wishful recycling, because we're the haulers and the people sorting the materials. Personally, I don't think anybody should have to sort it except us, but they're doing a lot of time pulling things that don't belong there, like rubber hoses. Rubber hoses do not belong in the recycling and cause havoc in the machinery. Same thing, plastic bags cause havoc in the machinery. So reuse your bags, use reusable bags, refuse straws, and if you're going to donate something to Goodwill, find out if they want it. Don't just dump it on them, because it's sort of a waste. Offer to your friends. I could go on at length, you know, waste less food, shop your refrigerator. Go in there and look and see what you have before you go to the grocery store, so you don't end up with two milks. You know, make your own body products. I make scrubs out of coconut oil, coffee scrubs, and salt. And it's a great health benefit, but it saves a lot of money. So I could go on at length. So if you want me to stop, I'll stop.
No, that's fine. You know, I was thinking about when you have to go to a restaurant and you have to tell them not to use straws. I was thinking of our Women's Basis Pledge, that your self-esteem doesn't depend on anything outside of you. So it's okay to make that suggestion. You know, let's go back to the children. You're trying to make some impact for the future, for future generations.
To save the ocean. And here's another one. Plastic clothing lets off little pieces of plastic, and it's a big factor in what's making our oceans so full of plastic. So if you have a fleece jacket, wash it by hand. Don't put it through the washing machine. Choose clothing made with natural fabrics. Don't wash things quite as much. Don't put it in the dryer. There's just a whole variety of things that we can do with our buying choices, and clothing is an example. Food is an example, too. You know, also, one of the interesting things in my field that I get a kick out of is everybody says, you know, well, how can this work for businesses? And somehow there's a disconnect between the fact that businesses are made up of individuals, and you should practice at home and at work. So if there's an issue, it comes down to individuals. They can recycle and divert waste and reduce waste at work as well as at home.
Well, I think what you're doing is you're calling out to people to become activists themselves and to support your activism by paying more attention to the environment and what they're
doing. Actually, I'm not. I'm just actioning them to change their habits, to take a look at it, go shopping at a secondhand store instead of buying new. I am asking them to be somewhat socialist, maybe, but I'm not asking them to be activists. But asking the waitress not to give you straw is a form of activism. So I'll agree. I am asking them to be activists in their behaviors.
And there's nothing wrong with that. I mean, that we have to be. I think that is one of the problems that we've had. We've all fell asleep and did not take our part and our responsibility.
It's true, because every dollar is a vote and every minute's a vote. And you're spending both of those every day.
Exactly. And women have a lot of power in that area, and we should not forget that. Well, we're coming to the end of the segment, so why don't you give us your website, any last words, anything else, anything we left out or you'd like to share?
Well, I'm going to be posting this checklist on Zero Waste USA's website. I work for Zero Waste USA, and I'm redoing the Light Initiative website. So first I'm going to be posting this on Zero Waste USA, so it's zerowasteusa.org. It'll be up there in the next few weeks. I also have people can contact me at zwsonoma@sonic.net, and I'll send them a copy of the checklist. It's also available through the Sierra Club. I'll be putting some at the Sierra Club offices. Come see us at Community Bikes. It's over on Spassible Road, right where at Fulton, east of there, a few blocks. No, actually, half a block. And Light Initiative does have a website, lightinitiatives.org. And you can find out about all the different programs of Light Initiatives there, including Car Light, Zero Waste Action. We also do clothing swaps and living green practices.
Well, Portia Sonnet, I want to thank you so much for being here on Women's Spaces. And just to let our listeners know, there's a lot of information that was just given to you, but we will also have it on www.womenspaces.com so you can connect to Portia that way. Well, folks, that's it for our show. My goodness. A special thank you to Portia Sinod, who is the program director of Zero Waste USA and the editor for the Northern California Recycling Association, and also one of the initiators of this great program called Plastic Free July. And, you know, I think one of the most important things that she said is just to pay attention, to be aware, and to look at how your food is packaged and how you can help to make the environment more sustainable by paying attention to how you recycle all the packaging that you have in your home and in your hands, for that matter. Remember, Tell your friends. Women's Spaces will be aired again at 11 p.m. this evening, and I'm really excited. I get to listen to my own program. Also, I'm available for speaking engagements, and if you have any birthdays, anniversaries you'd like to have on the air, do not hesitate to email me at Elaine at Women's Spaces. Remember, our children are the future. And also, I want you to mark on your calendar August the 11th. As you know, I am the president of the National Organization for Women, and we're going to be having one of our wonderful gatherings on August 11th at Howard's Park, and I'm looking forward to seeing everybody there. You know, I just want folks to just think about this. What can we do in our world to make it a better place? If each one of us just did one thing, we would be amazed. This is Elaine B. Holtz with Women's Spaces saying thank you so much for listening, and I look forward to being with you the next time.
A woman in your life, she's someone to pursue. She's patient and she's waiting, and she'll take you home now. The woman in your life, she can wait.
The previous Women's Spaces show was recorded on Monday, July 23rd, 2018.